Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
D'Anthony Holloway.
Yes.
How are you today? Thought I'd ask, you know? Sometimes I like to ask how you're doing in this life.
I got a new gun, so that's cool.
Seem pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. This is about as stoked as I get.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Beautiful gun, by the way.
It is, yeah.
Your brother gave that to you, didn't he?
I bought it. He just picked it up for me.
You know, you could have let that one slide. You could have said, hey, man, my brother's a great guy, and I love him very much.
Honesty is the best policy. Even when it's brutal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And he is not in the room. So he did not hear that, thankfully, and hopefully he's not listening to this show later on this evening. Who do we got on today, D'Anthony?
We have Justin Melnick from SEAL Team.
Yes, great fucking dude, man.
He's had a really crazy life.
Really crazy life. We got to sit down and chat with him in a rental car in Indiana for about a little over an hour. Mm-hmm. And shit, dude, what a fascinating guy.
Yeah, he's, let's see, what has he done? He's been like an event promoter in New York City. Then he became a war correspondent in Afghanistan and went to Uganda to take photos of charity work that was going on there. And then he fucking became a police officer. Now he's on a fucking TV show. He's a dog trainer. I mean, all sorts of stuff. So that if you watch SEAL Team, the dogs that are on there, he's the trainer and owner of those dogs.
Man, awesome interview, dude. This was one of our favorites tonight. I know I say that all the time, but we've had a lot of fucking great guests, dude, lately. And it's been fantastic. And obviously, SEAL Team is one of our favorite shows with Tyler Gray and those guys. That's why we keep having all of them on, just because we love the show. We're fans. Yeah. We got some sponsors. Pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. Before we get to the interview, first and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Man, they got a 4th of July sale, 30% off of bundle packages. What's a bundle package? It's everything. It's pillows, sheets, adjustable bases. All of that can be bundled together and you get 30% off. In some instances, it is a fucking $1,400 saving. It's amazing, man. Best mattresses on the planet, and you're still getting 2 free pillows when you get a mattress. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest on that at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. So go there and get a mattress if you need it. Next up, we got killcliffcbd.com. You're drinking one right now, D'Anthony.
Well, this is actually a White Claw.
Oh, is it really? But same size can.
I did drink Killcliff this morning.
Big fan.
I'm up to 2 a day now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't want to admit that I'm up to 2 a day, but I'm getting real close to 2 a day.
What are you going
to
do?
I drink one every single night. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. And they ship it right to your house. Look, there is no THC in this. You will not piss hot. Go to killcliff.com. Killcliffcbd.com. And type in the promo code Drinky Bros for 20% off and free shipping. I got a little ahead of myself because at killcliff.com as well, you can use the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off. And it is good on everything there. I use my own promo codes on the fucking Killcliff CBD. Sorry, not sorry about it. Go to killcliffcbd.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you free shipping and 20% off. The grape is my favorite. Give it a go. I'm a dirtbag. I like the grape.
More of a orange kush.
Kush yourself. Next up, we got Postmates, brother. We're using them today. We are using the Postmates today.
Yeah, we are, actually.
Come on, man.
Get Chick-fil-A.
We are. We're having a little going away party this eve. We are heading to Austin, Texas And we get some people in the studio. I think we're just going to do a live show, too, tonight on YouTube. If you're not subscribed to the show on YouTube, go to Drinking Bros Podcast and subscribe now. It's got all of our shows on there. And we order, I would say out of this office, five people order Postmates a day.
Yeah, probably.
Easily. Probably twice.
Yeah.
Giorgio, you eat more fucking food than anyone I've ever seen. It's just sandwich after sandwich. Postmates, dude. You get $100 in free delivery charges. With the promo code Drinking Bros. And let's face it, that's the only thing that jacks up the price, the delivery charges. Otherwise, the food's the same price as anywhere else.
Yep.
And you get anything from Postmates. We have a Postmates fucking late night drunk game where it's just like, what can you think of that Postmates will possibly send to you? And you can go down a fucking rabbit hole on that app. If you're using one of the other ones, switch now. Download the Postmates app and get $100 in free delivery fees with the promo code Drinking Bros from Postmates. D'Anthony, let's hop into the show, shall we? Welcome to Drinking Bros. It's our secret goal that Dan and I have to have every single cast member of SEAL Team on the show.
Yeah, we just got to get now. We got to get
Boreanaz is the only one left.
Tony Trucks.
Okay.
And what's the woman's name? I can't remember her name.
What's her name? What's
Jessica? Jessica.
Well, what's her last? I can't pronounce her last name.
Par, exactly. Yes. You guys will love her. She's great. You'll love her.
Dude, oh, she is. I met her on her
when she was on Mad Men.
She's actually super nice.
Oh, is she?
Like, she chased Bert and I were at the set, and she chased us down to say goodbye. I'm like, all right, cool, see ya.
Yeah.
She's a legit human being, a wonderful actor, and undoubtedly will go toe to toe with you guys and put you to shame on it. You got to get her on here. You guys will have a blast.
We'd love to. We're huge fans. Again, Mad Men was one of my favorite roles she played. She was great.
Well, today we're talking to Brock Reynolds. Wait, that's not right. Justin Melnick from SEAL Team.
Welcome. You even got the dog. Is that the dog from the show?
No. Adita's a little too Hollywood for police work right now. So this is my new canine, Pepper, right here. We're in Indiana. And Dita's at home on the ranch with a woman and the kids, chilling out and enjoying stardom.
Yeah. What are you doing in Indiana, by the way?
So before the show kicked off, I worked as a police officer here in Indiana, small town between Anderson and Muncie. And they've maintained me the privilege of keeping my commission while we're in Hollywood. So it's pretty incredible. Our senior class is graduating today. So I came back to speak at their graduation.
That's amazing.
Ooh, I lost you there. Hang on one second. You back?
That's fine. Yeah. Look, you're a busy guy who's getting a lot of calls during the COVID. We're zooming in with people. It's fine. The audience is used to it by now. How did everything go? Was it awesome?
It's actually tonight. So, I just ran to the airport to say goodbye to some people that are leaving town that were here for some canine training stuff and, didn't get a chance to catch them. So talking to you guys while I wait to say goodbye to them and send them on their way. And then I'll go back and deliver my awesome speech.
Are you in a mid-size SUV rental car right now? That's my guess of
what it looks like. You're so close. You're so good. Oh. I am actually in a Chevy pickup truck, Silverado.
I've got a Silverado. I love Silverados.
Me too. Best. What do you drive? 1500 or 2500?
I just got that new Trail Boss. I got the Trail Boss on there.
Oh,
it's custom too. Big fan. Big fan of the Chevy Silverados. It's got that Z71 package. It's nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I never get leather seats though in any vehicle. My wife always shits on me for it.
Well, if you get a dog, leather seats are important. But man, right as the zombie apocalypse, right as COVID kicked off, I was like, I gotta get rid of my 4Runner, and I picked up a Chevy 2500. And I figured if the end of the world was gonna come, the only car that could get you through it is Chevy. So I'm glad you guys like
it. Are you getting paid to say that? Because it seems like you might be getting paid to say that.
Not only that, but you could be my long-lost fucking brother or something. I got rid of my 4Runner to get the Silverado as well.
There we go, man. Now just take off your pants and we can confirm if we're brothers or not.
Well, yeah. That's a different show. We're going to need a wider angle on that dong, if you know what I'm saying. Probably, I'll flop it. Dan knows this. I'll pull it out anywhere.
It's probably going to need it. Better lighting, too, because it's really dense, like a neutron star. It's almost a black hole. It's like sucking all the light in around it.
It's tough to look at, my man. Yeah. Once you're in it, you're never coming out of it. You know what I'm saying?
It's either a feature or a medical condition. We're not sure.
We're not. Doctors have studied it from both coasts, MIT and Stanford. You can go ahead and spit it up in the rental car. Yeah, who cares?
Monster will not be coming out of my nose during this podcast. God,
it's a rental, brother. Yeah. I have fucked up rentals in my day. Dan and I traveled what we used to before this bullshit virus hit. We're usually on the road every 2 to 3 weeks doing live shows, different places all over the country. We've had every form of rental car you can possibly imagine. Dan, have you ever fucked up a rental car like on your own?
Oh, yeah. I got a rental car. I guess this would have been, shit, what year was this? 2008. Uh-huh. Mid-2008, my buddy was getting married. So got a rental car and drove all the way to Indiana, right? Like southern Indiana.
That's where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the way back, ran into a giant pothole, fucking destroyed the tire, right? And I put the spare tire on and drove another like 600 miles back to the rental car place. And I just took the tire that I fucked up and put it in the passenger's seat in the front because I didn't want them to miss it, but I didn't have time to deal with that shit.
Of course. You put a seatbelt on it?
They got a guy for that. Yeah, I had to. I didn't want it to go through the fucking windshield.
Obviously.
Yeah, so.
Obviously.
That was a shit show. It wasn't that bad, though.
I feel like they've seen it all. Have you fucked up a car? Like, I bet your dog tears through some of these things.
You know, Dita's actually the best travel companion in the world. She's so delicate and doesn't tear anything up. This little Dutchie right here is a little bit different. She will tear things up. I left her in the car for like 5 minutes yesterday. I spent 3 hours searching for a box to mail a piece of equipment out and put the equipment in the box. And I literally left her in my car for 5 minutes and she destroyed the entire box. I spent another hour and a half looking for a box. No one had a box. Ended up finding something like a tube that could work, but 2 hours out of my day for like 10 seconds of this dog's attention.
Yeah.
You know, but they're Malinois, they're Dutch Shepherds, same crazy, you know, they're not meant to be pets. People see them on TV. I think Dita's responsible for too many of these dogs sadly ending up in shelters because people see what she does on TV or on Instagram and think that that's normal for that breed and you know, don't realize she's a one in a million that I put 10 hours a day of training into.
Right.
And have had every incredible dog trainer in our country work on her, you know, go out for training evolutions.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this one is a little bit different. She'll get there, but she's still 2 years old and, you know, she's just as crazy as the rest of them out there. So, you know, I try and obviously set these dogs up and my own life for success. So I keep them kenneled 98% of the time, but just with where I was traveling and my baggage allowance and stuff, I couldn't bring a kennel with me. And my kennel here in Indiana was covered in dog shit because somebody borrowed it and didn't clean it out.
Well, I would say this. I mean, it is a rental. You want to feel like you got something out of it because they kind of fuck you every time you sign in. It hurts or, you know, Dollar or Thrifty, whatever it is. Let the dog stop by Taco Bell on the way to the airport. Get him a number 4 and just let him shit that out in the back seat and turn it in. Yeah.
She's not impressed right now. No, she's not impressed.
That dog would be impressed with a number 4 in her belly. I can tell you that. From Taco Bell.
What about like a chili cheese coney from Sonic?
Either way.
You really want to get that fucking Duke moving.
Get the dog some seasoned curlies and let that go through the old intestines.
Man, you should smell what comes out of this dog's butt just with normal dog food. I can't even imagine what would come out of her with that.
I think Taco Bell. Yeah.
Oh my God. Choose your smell. Man, that stuff is rough right there.
It's great. I wish they were a sponsor. I could eat it every Taco Bell day. I love it. I hate authentic, autentico Mexican food. Like the, you know, when they're clapping the fucking flautas and it's just.
It's because you're white trash.
It is, yeah. 100%. And it's just a couple like strips of meat and then some cilantro. I'm like, fuck you, dude. Get me some Taco Bell Americanized. I want the sauces. I want all of it. I want some hot sauce on there. Everything. Like I even love that shitty hot sauce from Taco Bell. I can taste it right now after I'm saying it out loud.
You know, you're.
I don't know, man. I think you should show us how big your balls are. I think you guys should come out to L.A. and visit us, and we'll go hit some of the street taco places around Southern L.A.
Oh, I'll get down. So I lived there for 18 years. My favorite Mexican restaurant in this in this country we call America is El Compadre on Sunset.
Okay, that place is awesome. That place is really good. So I'm glad you didn't say like the fucking vegan one that's out there now. That's like no meat.
Come on.
There's a vegan. It's called like Taca Madre or something like that.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
fuck
sure,
that.
But someone invited me there, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to this awesome Mexican restaurant." I showed up, and it's all vegan, and I'm like, "Why?
Yeah,
Why would someone do this? And why are you doing this to me? It's not fair."
There's a place in Oakland. I used to live in Oakland for a while, for 5 or 6, 7 years, and there's a place called Vegan Soul Food. And on the sign, first of all, that's retarded. That statement in general makes no sense. But the sign outside, Soul Food, big letters, vegan, tiny at the top. Like, don't bait and switch me.
Yeah.
If I come in looking for fried chicken and collard greens and shit, and you give me, because I'm from the South, we eat that shit in the South all the time. If you try to give me some vegan version of that, I will stab everyone.
Yeah, with a knife.
And I'll burn this goddamn building down.
And here's a fun fact. Dan only usually carries a gun, but he will carry a knife into a vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing. Anybody can get shot. And you're like, all right, sweet. I fucking killed that dude. But if you get knifed to death, that's something that it's just everyone will remember in the restaurant. Was like, he had a knife.
Well, the good part is
slicing people up.
When you just like make uninterrupted eye contact and push the knife in real slow.
Right.
Like the whole time, you're just like maintaining.
This just got dark real quick.
Oh, is this? You might want to put the shades down, my man. We're going even darker.
Are we recording
That's
this?
Why everybody remembers the OJ murders. If he would have just showed up and capped both of them, people probably would have forgot about it. It was the knife, though, that really fucking drove that story home.
He's going to be the one laughing in the end when he catches the real killers, though.
Yeah, that's true. He is still looking for the real killers. You're a cop. When you saw that case, you obviously, he was not guilty. did you believe him when he said he was going to spend the rest of his life looking for the real killers?
I mean, there's so much craziness. I mean, that guy alone, like, he gets off the hook for that, and he goes to jail for like strong arm robbery, trying to get some of his old sports memorabilia back. Like he's out of his mind. I don't know, man. But I did have a question for you because we were talking about crazy food and things you guys were willing to eat, and you both seem like wild cats to me.
Yeah.
What's the craziest meal in the craziest country you've ever had?
Oof. I'll tell you what surprised me. Like the first one that comes to mind was when I went to France. You think about how classy the French are and their food is amazing. And that's what everybody says. You know, you go to France, the food's amazing and you're going to have the best time ever. Well, I was in a hurry to get ready for this event that I was going to. So I went to this corner place around the hotel. It was maybe, 50 yards away. And I was like, I'd like some fine French food. And they gave me a baguette with 4 hot dogs that were cut up inside of it and some kind of like French Parisian mustard on a baguette. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was like, are you fucking... Is this a joke? I thought it was like an American joke. Let's give the American hot dogs.
No, every country's got an Alabama.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So I took it and I didn't know how to react or whatever. But there was a line of people that were non-Americans in this line. It was the best goddamn hot dog sandwich I've ever had in my life. It was on fresh baguettes.
Was it a baguette or a croissant?
It was a baguette. And it was long.
Interesting.
So it was about 8 or 9 inches long. And I know that obviously to scale, because all I had to do was put the baguette, next to it. I'm slanging an ocho down there. That's flaccid. And I knew, I obviously knew how long it was. And I was like, shit, I was full for the entire day. It was the best, weirdest meal that I'd had like outside of the country that I was unexpected, where I was like, I thought they were taking a shit on me. Turns out they were doing me a favor. I've never had a hot dog sandwich since, and I miss it.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
This mystery has never been solved for me my entire life.
I don't know.
I'll go with it. If it's between two slices of bread, it's a fucking sandwich.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why.
But it was on a baguette. It was like an open baguette.
I don't know why people are in the streets rioting and like creating autonomous zones just because we don't know the difference between a sandwich and a hot dog. If they're even, that's what people are writing about, right?
Yeah, Chaz, right now. That's everything that's going down is because of a hot dog sandwich. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything that's going down, that's never mind.
Come on, we want to hear it from the mouth of a real live cop.
I guess.
No, man. Listen, here's the deal. This is what I will say about what's happening right now. Is it's incredibly heartbreaking. I totally agree. There's no room in our society for people that hate people based off of their color, religion, sexual preference, sexual orientation, sexual identity. You know, we've all, and on a serious note, we've all lost a lot of friends over the last 20 years. Mm. Not to mention all the people that have paid the ultimate sacrifice creating what this country is. And it ain't perfect, and it's far from perfect. But, man, I promise you this, and I've traveled the world three times over. You find me a better place where people can be as free as they can here, and I'll move there. But it's so heartbreaking. I can cry right now. I can literally cry right now. It is so heartbreaking watching the world implode on itself, and people taking advantage of a legitimate thing like, like racism, there's no world in where racism is remotely acceptable. But burning down cities, looting cities, breaking stores, and forget Louis Vuitton and Gucci that got robbed. I'm talking about the mom and pop shops that just barely survived COVID. And, you know, insurance doesn't cover when things get burned down on civil unrest. Like, man, it's just so heartbreaking, and I wish I had an answer for it, and I don't. I don't think anybody does, but it's going to be interesting to look back and see how this all plays out in 50 years, how this shapes the way our country turns.
Yeah, because it's getting really fucking crazy out there. This defund the police shit is completely nuts to me. In no world is that a good idea, to have no police in a country with 330 million people in it. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is a news story that just came out last night out of L.A., since you live there now. The L.A. City Council approved the first step last night in replacing the LAPD with community responders for non-violent or non-threatening calls. How is that going to work out?
Listen, I don't know. This is sad, because obviously people that want to fill those roles have the right intentions. And I'm not saying, you know, as law enforcement, we don't get a lot of training. Guys, you know, if agencies were paying for jiu-jitsu training for guys, like, it's guys have to go out, men and women. When I say guys, I'm just speaking plurally. Mm-hmm. Men and women, you know, officers, you know, they get minimal defensive tactics in the academy. Depending on the size of your agency, like NYPD gets firearms like twice a year, and they've got a 12-pound trigger in a 2-pound gun. You know, it's like how they hit anything is incredible to me. You know, I've shot a New York trigger, and I feel like I'm pretty handy with a firearm. Like, I can't shoot that Glock. It's insane. Like, miss by a mile. It's 12 pounds you're pulling on a 2-pound gun. You know, people aren't set up for success. Law enforcement, you kind of get the basics, and you really learn how to be a cop out on the street and by working with, you know, the people that have paved the road in front of you. It's a one giant liability. So it's like you start putting people in these positions to respond to calls that don't have the training or the experience. Like, they're going to find out what evil really lurks, because even a call that is, you know, a motorist on the side of the road asleep behind their car could turn into a shooting.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how you talk to the person. I mean, we go through these trainings and we watch videos of where poor tactics have led to good shootings, where good tactics have led to bad shootings. And like, you try and learn, sadly, from other people's mistakes, but you know, by watching these videos and being in the moment, and you, like, there are videos out there where a guy, and he admits to it after he got caught, where he killed the female officer just because he could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, unless you've worked in law enforcement, unless you have family that's law enforcement, you never hear these stories. You know, the media has a way of portraying everything. It's really sad. There's no, like, I see a story now. I'll give you a perfect example. I saw the memes coming out of, you know, of that, of the man and the woman
Ken
that
and
lived
Karen.
In
Ken and Karen, brother. Yeah. I love them. I'm okay, a big so, fan.
So I saw the memes. I think they popped up on some cop's Instagram page first, and I thought it was just a Photoshop. I had no idea what the backstory was, and I just thought it was funny. And then I started seeing them imposed on the Delta Force picture. I think you guys did that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this is genius. And then I saw, then I realized that it's a real couple, and I saw on Vice News that, like, you know, upper class white family attacks protesters, all that, you know. And then I went on another media page and I saw the entire video. Oh, sorry. Did it cut out the voice there
no,
too?
No, the voice is fine.
You're good to go.
Someone should tell Zoom that they should make a way to disengage your phone and text messages when you're on a Zoom conference.
Yeah, no shit.
It's a brand
don't
new
people
company.
Know who I'm talking to
actually,
right now?
No.
You can.
Sakes, I'm important. I'm an important man.
If you swipe down from the top right of your phone, and you're using an iPhone, I assume, right?
Yep.
And then click that thing that looks like a crescent moon. That'll silence all of your incoming
Done.
Shit.
Look at that. We're learning. Like, we're learning a lot today, but we're also teaching as well. Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing some stuff. Yeah.
I ended up getting to see the full story, and those people knocked down that person's gate, and who knows if they burn the house down, you know, like you never know what an angry mob is going to do, regardless of what they're protesting, regardless of, an angry mob is capable of anything.
Yeah. That's why you don't see like Frankenstein's monster cruising around anymore. He just stays at home for the most part because he doesn't want to get chased through the streets by an angry mob. And I don't blame him.
He has to. Those bolts are actually to get him from going outside and attacking.
Yeah.
People.
It's like a shock collar. So it turns out that these people are Democrats. They donate to Democratic people. Like candidates.
Get the fuck out of here.
One of the candidates actually gave them their money back because I don't want their money. Brr.
Really?
This is happening.
Here's the thing about the Second Amendment, right, bro? Is it doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
Nope. Yeah, it certainly doesn't. I don't either. I don't give two fucks about either one of these corrupt-ass political parties. I just think it's kind of interesting that, like, in the same sense that people will destroy their own communities during this stuff, they will go after people who agree with them. Like, you, all those videos that I saw coming out of Chaz, it's one of two things. It was either mentally ill people,
mm-hmm.
or like two different factions of far left dumb arguing with each other about who's got the right to do what.
Right.
Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that city was thinking allowing that. I've heard that they're starting to dismantle it right now. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, they started this morning.
I saw some overhead shots this morning, and, you know, they're getting rid of Chaz. And I'm pissed off. I had an Airbnb thing down there in the middle of it that I had to cancel. It was a one bedroom. It was me and my wife were just going on a little staycay.
To Chaz,
and we had to cancel that. Obviously, babysitter's pissed. We had to return the diapers because we were, you know, there's no bathrooms there, so we were just planning on pissing and shitting ourselves. But
you mean return the diapers for you guys, not the children?
Correct.
I see.
Yeah, we're gonna, obviously in Chaz, there's no bathroom, so you know.
Well, there's
kind of BYOD on that one. Bring your own diaper.
It's everywhere is a bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the world is a bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's what Chaz was founded on. And I never got to go there.
Never
got to go to East Germany.
Didn't
either.
Matt Damon go to Mars and use his own shit to make potatoes or something?
I don't
remember
so.
What happened there.
I believe so.
Is that
he
real?
Turned out fine.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, he turned
out
fine.
You guys
fine.
Know the story. Do you know the story behind that, by the way?
Behind his Team America appearance?
Yeah.
No, tell me.
So rumor has it, from a pretty credible source, the reason why that's Matt Damon is because when they were making the movie, when Matt Damon's puppet showed up, it was broken. And instead of spending all the money to fix it, and they didn't really have the time to fix it, they just made the puppet go, Matt Damon.
All right.
That sounds right, though.
It makes sense.
I believe that.
I read an article about those guys where they were talking about making that movie, and they said it was fucking miserable. They were like, dude, trying to shoot puppets, doing stuff and everything else. They were like, it's the goddamn worst thing on the planet. One of the greatest movies of all time, so the sacrifice was worth it, but...
That last song where they're talking about all the stuff, like America, fuck yeah, and it's like the internet, Walmart, and then slavery and shit like that. That whole song is the funniest shit. That last song in the movie is the funniest shit ever.
It's fucking great.
But you couldn't, I say you couldn't do that now, but South Park doesn't really slow down, do they?
No. If you establish yourself as a dirtbag, again, we talked about this before. If you establish that's your brand of comedy forever, nobody is going to come after
you. You'd think that, but four episodes of It's Always Sunny got removed by Hulu.
Yeah.
I know, but South Park is on Hulu as well.
Mm. And hey, you just remember this, guys. Season 5 of Rick and Morty.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that should be pretty wild.
If anyone can fix our world, it's going to be Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I named my dog Morty. In honor of the show.
So I named Tyler Gray, who you guys have probably had dinner with before once or twice. Yeah. I call him Pickle Rick.
He's a little Pickle Rickish. I feel like you could throw Tyler into pretty much any situation and he would come out of it somehow.
Oh my God. I got so many stories. I've known Tyler about 10 years. I'll tell you, I don't get impressed much by people. That dude never stops impressing me. I've watched him come out of a funk, obviously rightly so. The dude had a dream as a kid, just achieved his dream, and then that dream got ripped out of his arms, like no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
And totally I'm assuming everyone who's listening to your podcast knows who Tyler Gray is. And if they're not, they should just fucking hang up right now.
Yeah, we've done obviously 4 or 5 shows with Tyler, but I did a one-on-one interview with him. Were you on that show?
No.
No, I did a one-on-one interview with him because I didn't know anything about his life. And it was one of the most powerful episodes we've ever had in the history of our show. And I was like, holy shit. That guy is one of the most impressive human beings I've ever got to talk to in my entire life.
Yeah, he could have
100% agree.
Regardless of whatever he decided to do in life, he was going to do it well. Mm-hmm. He's just that kind of guy. On the other hand, there's Bert Koontz.
Real piece of shit.
He was a giant piece of shit. He's the biggest piece of shit. Like, not in size. He's small. He's a beefcake, but he's short. So but he's still like.
You think he's strong, dude? I think he's so small. I think he's got little chicken legs. I think he needs. I think if Bert were to wake up in the morning and pound like 10 pancakes and 5 eggs and a giant cup of black coffee, he'd be big.
Yeah, maybe.
Look, have you seen his Instagram lately? Because he's going shirtless every 2 days now. And I get it. He's jacked like an El Camino in the front yard.
If I looked like Bert, I would be shirtless all the time. That dude's a fucking stud.
I know. I would too.
I want to see him and Max wrestle.
I'd put my money on Max. Bert, they'd probably choke each other out so they both were dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Max legit can wrestle. That dude is strong as an ox. Somehow every time there's a fight scene, I'm the one having to break him up, break it off. I've broken fingers on Max. That dude is no joke, legit. That dude, let me tell you a story about that dude. That dude broke a rib while filming. He tripped, fell, and he was holding an actor. And that guy saved, it was just a freak accident. He just saved the day. He saved, she could have gotten hurt, it was a freak accident, and that dude put her before himself. He's just such a great dude. He's so kind, so honest, so genuine. Have you had him on the show yet?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Oh, dude, he's a guy's guy. You'd love him. Mm-hmm. Just, there's very few people in the world that you can ever think of anything bad to say, that you can't think of anything. I can't think of anything bad to say about him. The guy is awesome. I mean, dude, everyone we work with on this show is just great. At the level of which everybody's gotten behind the veteran community to help and the charities that everybody's gotten behind, I mean, it's gone from making a a TV show to actually helping people, which is phenomenal. You know, I've never in my entire life, you know, I've never in my entire life seen such a devoted group of individuals, not only from the actors, but from the writers to the producers, everyone, you know, every month there's some sort of charity that whether it's someone from props is doing, someone from the sound department, whether it's like jogging with frogmen or doing stuff for, you know, building homes for vets or for Headstrong, you know, like the fact that David Boreanaz, our lead actor on the show, like pushed to get us set up to go do this whole thing for Headstrong with Price is Right, which was incredible.
The game show?
Yeah.
No shit.
Did you did you make contact with Steve Harvey's mustache at all?
No, dude, not Steve Harvey's. That one's Drew Carey.
Oh, it's Drew Carey. I'm sorry. I was thinking Family Feud.
Did you get to play on fucking Wheel of Fortune or on Price is
Right? Yeah, me and Dita, bro. Come on. Dita and I were on Price is Right.
Did she spin the wheel?
Are you fucking serious? Go through this story. I haven't heard this.
Oh, man. So Dita and I have actually been on the Price is Right twice, which is pretty cool.
What?
Yeah. One time we went over there for pet adoption month and we hung out with Drew. And the second time, Tony, Neil, Max, myself, and David went to the Price is Right for Headstrong. And Price is Right matched us for every dollar that the lead contestant won.
How much did you win?
Awesome. I think we raised somewhere in like just shy of $100,000.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a big check they cut. I mean, Drew Carey's the man. He's such super pro military.
Well, he's a former veteran. Marine.
I know, but you never know. Some people get out and they're like, "Oh, that's behind me, you know. Yeah. I want to focus on business now." Or you never know who, you know, you never know the way people are going to be when they, you know, get into the spotlight. Mm. So I mean, it was incredible. And Dita and I ended up with David we had to guess the price on some washer dryers, but little do they know, I just looked at that unit like 5 days prior at Home Depot when I was getting new washer dryers. So we guided our contestant to the win. It was so much fun. The energy there, just, you know, and it was an all veteran crowd, and we were, you know, brought some patches and some challenge coins from the show, and was able to give them out to some of the veterans. And, you know, it's like, it's cool, you know, when you're at a bar and a hot girl recognize you from SEAL team, which has never happened to me, but I'm sure it's happened to other people. but you know, when veterans and when active duty watch the show and they appreciate it, and you meet dudes, that are out there carrying a gun in defense of this nation, and they say thank you for making the show, and they love it because it allows dudes to sit down with their kids and show them, you know, because when you're in a unit like that, you don't talk about what you do at the dinner table, but if you can open up a format for your kids to ask questions, you know, communication is everything. And this show, the writers on it, you know, they're the executive producers, you know, Tyler, you know, everyone's put so much work into this. And I really think that they've done we all have done such a wonderful job on it. Not to pat myself on the back in that sense, but just, I'm proud of it. I'm really proud of it. I feel like it portrays accurately, and I feel like the show actually makes a difference and helps people through charity and through storyline.
Are you a single dude in real life?
No. I got a girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Because that seemed like what you were saying there, and I was like, how the fuck is that possible, dude? Single dude on a you know, a huge show like that? That's crazy.
Oh, no. I've got a girlfriend. Not single, but I can make jokes about that kind of stuff.
How long's the girlfriend? I'll tell you whether you can or can't.
Going on 6 months.
Oh, fuck. You're fine then. Yeah, you can keep ripping. You can keep firing away. When it gets past 2 years, that's when it's like, hey, the jokes are over, motherfucker. But like 6 months, yeah, you're good to go. You know, you can still throw in a, you know, hey, I got a beige when I was at El Compadre the other night, that type of thing, where it's just like, no, you didn't. No one.
Is that a special kind of drink?
Yeah, no one sucked your dick there after a flaming margarita, did they? Did they suck your dick after a flaming margarita? No, and it's like, I'm kidding. It's only a 6 month relationship.
The flaming Dr. Pepper.
2 years, though, that's when they start getting serious of like, hey, those dick sucking jokes are over, bro. Like, we're on 2 years and you haven't married me yet.
Yeah, this one's sticking around. She's the best.
We'll see.
I've never, I'll keep her as long as she'll allow me the privilege of being around. She's pretty special.
Cause you look like you could step in and be the new Superman. And if that happens, yeah, you're flying away, my man.
Bro, you haven't even seen me like without a shirt. There's no way I could be Superman.
Well, not.
Well, in this car, half up, like, you've got one of the best, yeah. like, from a paraplegic standpoint, you look great right there.
I think it's funny that you think I haven't seen you shirtless, to be fair. Like, yeah. Come on, give me a fucking break, dude. You think nobody comes on this show without me seeing them shirtless
first.
That's
true.
Whether they give me the picture or I find it somewhere else.
Navy SEAL.
Can Matt Best show you the naked pictures that he took of me?
Matt Best, I'm sure he would show me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see it.
No. He's pretty loyal. He would delete those pics.
You seem like you're a little too excited about me seeing this.
Yeah, did you pose for it? Did you hire a photographer?
Is it Bourjois Photos or whatever the fuck
they're called? Is it French? Is it black? Did you go black and white with a little bit of cocoa?
It was really tasteful. It was kind of like a femme noir or like a film noir kind of 1950s.
Ah.
Parisian. Audrey Hepburn style. Yeah, they did my hair all nice. It was
under a waterfall with a fucking midget on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And the midget's naked too.
I don't think you can use that word anymore.
Oh, I can. I just did it. I literally just did it.
Are they called dwarfers now?
I don't know. But I feel like midget was a medical term. So I'm not. We can't just like start changing medical terms, can we?
Yeah, I don't believe so. It's a condition.
I don't know.
I believe it's on the side of medication.
LP?
Yeah. Little peoples.
Little peeps.
I think that is the politically correct.
Yeah. And the current don't you think
that the phrase little person is way more offensive than midget?
Fuck yes.
Sounds so demeaning. Yeah. He's just a little person. Don't worry about him. Like, what the fuck?
Midget sounds strong and powerful. Like, I'm a midget.
Yeah.
Versus I'm a little person. That makes it seem like, oh, go grab me a giant lollipop so I can fucking live out your fantasies.
Like, what would
Oz.
Bridget the Midget's porn name have been if the word midget wasn't acceptable?
Lily
the little fucking something.
Is that a real person?
Yeah,
Bridget the Midget.
R.I.P. I think she's dead, right?
I don't know. She should be.
No, she's in jail for murder. Alec, look that up real quick. I think she's in jail for stabbing somebody. But I think she would probably class it up and go Brigitte the Midget. That's
like,
what you would
like
call
Joe
it.
Dirt.
Yeah, Brigitte the Midget.
A question for you. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm still a virgin. I'm waiting till marriage.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I did too. Wait till you do it. It's amazing
with chicks.
Yeah.
Dudes don't count, obviously.
Duh. I mean, it's like, hey, you guys have both been to Afghanistan, right?
No, I've only been to Iraq.
Iraq?
Yeah.
No, I've never been to either.
Never had the opportunity to go to Afghanistan, unfortunately.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been to Afghanistan. I haven't been to Iraq. I've been on the border of Iraq. Never been to Iraq.
You were kind of like a war correspondent or some shit?
I was a photographer for a little bit.
Like, how the fuck did that happen? And how did you get access to the fucking DOD press corps so you could get there? It's not exactly the easiest thing to do.
No. So how did it all happen? I used to work in New York in nightclubs back in the day. And one morning I woke up and I realized that it was a giant virus and the people I was around were sucking the life out of me. And I just had no interest in continuing. I couldn't see myself alive in that world. You know, I just felt like the life was getting sucked out of me and I wasn't adding any value to anything. So, did some soul searching, got into photography, started shooting fashion stuff, and then realized it was just the same people, just different time of day. And a buddy of mine had quit the nightclub world and started a charity where he was digging wells in Uganda, so people could get fresh water. And I kind of was like, oh, fuck it, YOLO, I'll go. He needed someone to go get some pictures of the well because it was up in an area called Atiak, which is north of a town called Gulu, which is famous for the Lord's Resistance Army. Mm. Remember Kony 2012?
Yep. Dude, do I? I donated so much money. I'm kidding.
I sent them t-shirts.
Yeah.
But it was for the team that lost the Super Bowl.
They never got Kony, by the way. Spoiler alert.
No, he's still out there.
Yeah. He's still out there. And people are still looking for him. But so
he's running a different charity now.
This was 2006 and went out there for what was supposed to be a week that took me about a month. And man, it's, you know, you think you've seen it all when you grow up in New York City and you step off that plane and reality just hits you in the fucking face.
Yeah, no shit.
You realize how lucky life is just to have been born here. How much we take for granted and how much pain and suffering is actually out there in the world. So Kony was destroying. This was 2006. They just kind of got him out of Uganda. He was in Central African Republic or Congo. Mm-hmm. No one was quite sure, but him and his crazy army of drugged out child soldiers were not present. There were still elements of them there, but not present at the levels that they had been like 6 months prior. So went there, got the photographs of the well off the GPS coordinates that I was given, and then came home with a giant bug of war photography. And I wanted to understand what was happening in the world, and really, you know, it's that moment when Morpheus gave Neo the red pill or the blue pill and was like, hey, you can take this and wake up tomorrow in your bed and this will have been a dream, or I'll show you just how deep this fucking rabbit hole goes. And I took the red pill. So
any regrets? Because it sounds like you have a few regrets about it.
You know, listen, man, ignorance is bliss, but honestly, I'd rather die informed than live ignorant. I've been very fortunate. I had some pretty shitty mentors as a kid. I never had a dad. I didn't have a dad since I was like 20 years old. And, you know, I just had scumbags kind of mentoring me through my early adult years. But when I got into the combat photography and started meeting awesome individuals, when I got to Afghanistan, which was like my sixth or seventh big trip, that's when it changed my life completely. And, you know, I met incredible human beings that taught me how to be a man and responsibility and accountability. And, you know, if you ask me what my regrets are in life, it would just be not joining the military at 18. If I could have done two things differently, I would have served our country in the military and I would have gone to college. Other than that, every other mistake I've made, I would continue to have done because I've learned a lot from it. But those two things are things that if I could go back and do it again, I would completely do. I just, you know, the caliber of human that goes and leaves their loved ones at home in order to ensure that their loved ones have a safe future, that's who I want to be when I grow up. It's a little late for that, but you know, that's who I can aspire to be when I grow up still, you know, someone that will go that extra mile to keep our loved ones and the people we care about safe at home.
Man, everything you've described so far about your life, how did you go from all of that to being on a TV show in Hollywood? Like, it just seems so fucking wild.
It's a crazy, it's a wild story, dude. The joke is it would only happen to me. I have two rules in my life. is always treat everybody the way I want to treat my children, or I want my children to be treated, and never say no to anything unless it's illegal or immoral.
And even then,
yeah, look,
it's like, because when you were talking about the red pill, blue pill thing, I took both pills.
Today, I watched it take both today before we went on the show.
I mean, I don't see why not. Like, you give me two options, I think that's a false choice. Like, Democrat or Republican. No, I'm good, man. I'm taking whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens on the other side of it.
Yeah. So, on the illegal side there, you just eliminated 90% of Dan's life by saying that.
Nah, close.
Yeah, but the moral side, I'm sure there's a moral, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, for sure. But, people like... people like me, I think, we're just principled sociopaths. Like, we enjoy the society that we live in and see the goodness in it, mm-hmm. and prefer it to mm-hmm. chaos, because I want to be chaos, but I can't be chaos if everything else is chaos.
Right.
So you have to support the infrastructure of the country.
Ask you a question. If everything's chaos and you become order, then you're winning, because order is chaos to chaos.
Yeah.
And then you become Stallone from that movie. I am the law.
Yeah, which is why every time there's civil.
Is that Cobra?
No, that's Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd. Yep.
Oh, God, you watch that movie?
No.
The old one, not the new one. The new one with Carl Urban was terrible. I love Carl Urban as an actor, but that movie was dog shit.
I liked him as a lover. I know nothing about his acting skills, but big fan of him in The Sack. But yeah, how did you get there? How'd you get on the fucking show in Hollywood? It's crazy.
Well, you see that sofa. No, so I knew Mark Owen, the guy who wrote No Easy Day,
mm-hmm.
from while he was still in the Navy. And, and I also knew Tyler from 10 years ago, and mm-hmm. I had no idea that the two of them knew each other. And, I was up in Tahoe doing some high altitude, training with Dita, doing search and rescue stuff up in the snow up there, because they had an ungodly amount of snow and she'd never seen that level of snow. So we went out into the mountains and we were doing like a 7-day training evolution up there. And I get a call from Tyler, from Mark Owen, and the way the messages came through, I thought it was two different things. I'm like, what's going on? And they need a dog, whatever. So basically, Tyler and Mark Owen created this opportunity for me. And I showed up with the dog. And So right before that, Tyler's like, hey, go get all of your equipment and ship it down to New Orleans. So I bought a flight. You know, the production didn't even pay for it. You know, I bought a flight, left my dog with somebody, flew to New York. I had all of my equipment at Caleb Cry's office in New York City.
Cry Precision.
Really old friend of mine. I was mm-hmm. doing a lot of consulting for his company, so I had tons of gear. Shipped it all down to the pilot episode, overnighted it, like 2,000 pounds, uniforms, plate carriers, helmets, everything, night vision, blah, 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 blah. Shipped it all down to New Orleans and... then flew back to LA and drove all the way to New Orleans, got there and showed up, and the showrunner just looked at me and says, hey, why don't you just be the dog handler? And I was like, well, doesn't that involve needing to know how to act? He's like, you'll figure it out. So,
this is the guy with the fucking mini donkey.
Yeah. I have a mini donkey.
What's his name? The showrunner, that has the mini donkey or whatever, the rescue.
Oh, no. You're thinking of J. Michael Miro, the cinematographer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he's not down there. He's not, he wasn't available for the pilot. So he's our executive producer, Chris Chulak, who is kind of the driving force behind the show with Mark Owen. He did like Longmire and Southland mm-hmm. and all these incredible shows. So Jimmy is his guy. Jimmy was unavailable because he was doing another movie or something like that. So we had a different incredible cinematographer named Gonzalo who was down there for the pilot. But
oh yeah, Jimmy's a Steadicam guy, right?
I mean, back in the day,
for like Heat and all that bullshit. Yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah, that's right.
The guy is a madman in the most insane artistic form and sense you could ever imagine. That guy That guy is so impressive to watch him work. He makes me want to be a camera operator, actually.
I mean, he's if you look up Steadicam operators, he's like the Michael Jordan of that particular thing.
Yeah, we did a whole thing on him. We went through his entire resume. So you go down there, and then how did you get on? Did you audition?
No, never auditioned ever.
They just put you on the fucking thing in the background? Or?
Technically on the pilot episode, I was a stuntman on it. And then when the show got picked up, I was on a stunt contract the whole season. And then they put me on an actor contract after that.
No shit.
But
it's a crazy story. Yeah.
It's literally only happened to one other person in Hollywood ever, in the entire that I've ever heard of, and that person is a guy named Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, that's Grizzly
Adams
insane.
Showed up with a bear on set, and they ended up making him an actor.
That's crazy, man.
That's funny.
It's wild. Listen, it is what you know. It's like any job in the sense where watching these guys, I mean, I went to the best acting school that money could buy. I went to an acting school that's $711 a minute, $1 million. You know, it's so expensive. Each one of these episodes is a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm watching seven people that all are incredible at their craft perform.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I didn't really have any dialogue the first season. I mean, I did, you know, after episode four, I had bits and pieces here and there. But you know, I got every day. It's not like I have tons of dialogue. I can sit there and study what these guys are doing, and watching them work is incredible. They are at the top of their game. It's every day. I mean, there'll be scenes where like I'll start crying, like tearing up in them, because these guys just deliver, performances. Gives me chills. It's just watching them work and watching them represent guys that I hold in such high regards. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. And then to watch it all unfold, you know, in the edits is really impressive as well.
It's really interesting. I don't know how it happened or why or what the impetus was, but for some reason this show, maybe more than any I've ever seen, decided to take everything seriously. Like, they decided that not just the stories, because there's a... One of the guys that writes some of your episodes is an actual SEAL.
So where this show went different than everybody else is in Hollywood, they don't, you know, this show allowed former SEALs and former special operations guys into the writer's room to talk to them. This show employed veterans at every level of the show, from background actors to stunt guys to, you know, electricians to craft services to hair and makeup. I'm not speaking in any order. I'm just, naming the departments, to editing, to directors, to producers, to executive producers, to writers. So what happened in this, normally in Hollywood, they'll be filming a shootout scene and the director will have the actors on set, and they'll have to go from a helicopter to a building, and the director will say, "Tech advisor," and the tech advisor will run up, he'll be sitting in the village with his headphones on, and he'll run up, "Yes, sir." And he'll be like, "How does this happen?" And the tech advisor will say, "Oh, this and this," and then the director will be like, "That doesn't work for me, okay, bye," and the tech advisor will leave. In our sense, Tyler will design the way the action will run, or design the way people will move. If it has to do with the team, Tyler will be able to, give his input, and he's so well respected. And it's, that when we have, our bosses who direct episodes, they respect what Tyler has to say, because, that's why the show is authentic in that sense.
Yeah.
So people, and they care, our showrunner, Spencer Hudnut, our executive producer, Chris Chulak, our other executive producer, Mark Owen, Mark was a SEAL forever. Our writers, Mark Simos and Kenny Sheard, You know, our tech advisors, Chase Rivera, you know, Tyler Gray, like these guys, everybody that we work for that pay our paychecks, respect these guys for what they've done for this country and how they're portraying Bravo Team. Mm. And it's so important to each one of those people that are the bosses that this show nails it, because what our men and women of our country have gone through for the past 20 years ain't no joke, man. It's, I mean, you talk to dudes that had 17 deployments. They've missed birthdays, anniversary. Forget the fact that they might be killed. You know, we have wives that are raising kids, you know, for a 15-year career while, you know, while dudes are deployed. You know, the sacrifice goes on both sides of it. So if we can make a show that honors that sacrifice to those men and women, the ones that stay behind domestically and the ones that are deployed, that's what matters. Mm. That's what really matters to each and every one of them. So I take my hat off for them. There's not a person on that show that doesn't have my undivided love for their passion of getting this right.
Well, look, we're obviously gigantic fans of the show. We've had almost the entire cast on because we love how you guys do it. And more importantly, all the people you hire behind the scenes and continue to hire. And yeah, man, thanks for coming on the show today. This is the point where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone
who's... you're kicking me off already?
Hang on, brother. You get to give the drinking bro of the week out. So this is someone that has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
God, you know, there's so many people that absolutely completely deserve it, because I am.
Yeah, now who's kicking someone off the show, yep. My man? Yep. You know, you get faced with a tough decision in life, and right now you're freezing.
I would, the list is long. There's 20 dudes that are on this earth and that aren't that deserve that title. And I'm trying to think of the one that.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
No,
not him.
Okay. It looked like that was on the tip of your tongue. It looked like that was on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But think about it.
Is that the guy?
There's a captain that I spent a lot of time with in Afghanistan named Eric Viennan, and I haven't seen him in years, but that's one person that I would definitely, I don't know where he is in the world, and I'm trying to dig up his number and give him a call later, but that's one dude right there that I would definitely say I aspire to be more like every day that's possible. He was a great leader. He's a great leader. He's an incredible human being, inspiring person. That's a hard. I mean, that question made me tear up right there, dude. Mm-hmm. That's a really serious question. I'm going to give it to Eric Viennan, and I hope he's well wherever he is, because he was an inspirational human being. Kind of leader that would run into battle first. And I remember going, and we were coming back. We were in Gardez, and we were driving back to Kabul through, I believe it was the Khyber Pass. Mm. And someone had called in an IED, and some of the young National Guard guys were going to go check it out. And he was like, "No, guys, it's almost time for you to go home. Like, I got this." And I was like, fuck this, I'm going to go with him. Mm-hmm. And I walked up with him to go check this little culvert, because someone had reported seeing wires come out of it. And, you know, we left the convoy like 200 meters back and walked up the side of this road in the middle of nowhere together. Like, you're just the kind of guy, like, I'm a combat photographer, dude. I didn't have a rifle. Like, you can't defend yourself from a fucking IED anyway. But
no.
He's just the kind of guy that, like, you were going to leave this earth, you wanted to leave it next to him, because he's just a fucking Viking. And but a kind and compassionate and the same dude to go out in villages and bring, you know, backpacks and candy and school supplies for kids. Offer his water to women, you know, in these remote villages and stuff. Just an awesome dude. But man, I've been really fortunate. You know, the last 10 years of my life, from 30 to 40, I've had some of the most incredible, inspiring human beings around me that have just taught me what's important. And it's not money, it's not fame, it's not material objects. It's literally trying to leave this world a better place than you found it.
Mm. Well said.
Yeah, it's hard to if you want to be better in life, surround yourself with people like Tyler Gray, because you can't fucking feel sorry for yourself or complain one single day of the year.
Yeah,
Tyler would have been the easiest answer to give you, but Tyler would have expected me to say that.
Yeah, so fuck him. He's already been drinking.
Yeah, fuck Tyler. I share an office with Tyler. I share a trailer most of the time with Tyler. He's probably the best big brother I've ever had in my life. I would do absolutely anything in the world for that dude. And watching him is incredibly inspirational. And Tyler is great because he'll always give you true advice. There's no sugarcoating it with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said six from Blossom as mine. But I like girls with really small torsos and long other features.
Like her arms
Who's
and legs.
Six from Blossom?
You remember the hit TV show Blossom?
No.
With Joey Lawrence?
Yeah, and then, you're 40. How do you not know that?
Come on, dude. You didn't grow up with Blossom?
I haven't had a TV. I've not owned a TV since the towers went down in 2000.
Well, Blossom's before that, so
you can't lose the TV in the
you
towers?
You can't blame it on 9/11, dude.
Yeah.
Blossom was on the air in the fucking 90s.
Yeah, it was a 90s show, my man. And you try to blame it on 9/11.
What a scumbag.
Dirtbag. Follow this dirtbag. It's is it Justin 9/11? Is that your username? Is that your...
Too soon, bro. Too soon. Too soon.
That's funny.
No, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media.
Justin Melnick, just my name.
Oh, you got it. Look, you're lucky if you're actually able to get your name.
Well, that's not a common name.
So true story. I wasn't able to get my name.
Ah,
someone had Justin Melnick. But remember when that first big Instagram scare came like 9 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone was like, Instagram is stealing all of your pictures and all of your personal information. So everyone deleted their accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the other fucker that had my name got scared and he fucking dropped it and ran. And I got online and I punched in Justin Melnick, no spaces, no underscores, and I grabbed it.
Oh, you SOB. That's a nice move. Yeah, mine's I was super late to social media, so I didn't get any of my names at all. I just didn't want to get on it after 9/11.
I
kind of waited. But
I heard you were one of the Blossom. First people on Grindr, though.
Oh, he was. Yeah, yeah.
Now that's different, all though. Over. Yeah,
yeah. It was him and Lindsey Graham, actually.
Yep, me and Lady G.
So funny story. I saw Grindr when it first came out, and I went to my IT buddy, and I was like, "Dude, we need to start this for heterosexual people." Or, you know, you can choose your preference, but get girls on it and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, my God, that would never work. And this is like a brilliant IT dude that would never work. And it would be like a safety thing and no one would get on it because they'd be scared of like meeting creeps on the Internet. And I was like, I just let it go. And then about a year ago, he found an old email that I sent him. And he's forwarded back and he goes, look at the date on this. You know, it was like 2004.
You could have been a gajillionaire, my man.
Yeah.
Instead, you're here with
us. Could have had the first, I know, right? In a rental car. In a medium-sized rental car.
Yeah, in a mid-sized SUV with a dog sleeping in the back, you know?
Hey, but you know what? At least I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yeah.
Goddamn right you
did. He keeps plugging these companies, and I can't tell if he's...
I can't either.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Who are you sponsored by?
Oh, not much. No, I'm not sponsored by anybody, but I did save 10% by switching to Geico.
I saved 10% by fleeing the scene of an accident.
Yeah, Dan did.
Which is basically the same thing, except for there's no little fucking lizards involved.
Yeah, that's after you.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, he's never been after me that I know of. He could be. I don't know.
You never know.
It could be the fucking the brick of bills with the googly eyes.
What's up on that little shelf right behind you?
Which one?
Which one?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Well, this is water from Flint, Michigan.
This is actually Flint water, water from Flint. Dead serious.
No fucking way.
Yeah, we had a listener send it in.
And this,
we haven't drank it yet. Just,
this is a rifle from Palmetto
State Armory. What kind of rifle, bro?
It's a SBR fucking 300 blackout.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who makes it?
Palmetto State Armory nearby.
I'm not familiar with them.
It's,
but be careful, because according to the media, that thing could go off for no reason whatsoever.
It's never even been fired before, and I'm already scared.
Yeah.
You should be so scared.
And they cause COVID. I think it says that on the box. So everybody
definitely.
Only the Chinese version, probably.
Well, hey, man, we wish you the best. We love the show. Thank you for stopping by today. And get that rental car back safely, will you?
I'm going to go do some donuts right now.
Goddamn right you are.
You're in
America.
You're in Indiana, you said?
Yeah.
Are there hills or anything in Indiana?
It's pretty flat.
Yes.
It's pretty flat, Indiana.
I don't know if I can flip the camera around, can I? There we go. No. Yeah. Ah, wait. That just made me huge. There you go. We're back.
Yeah.
There's really no hills anywhere.
Nothing in Indiana.
Well,
no.
Maybe just go find a protest and park your car there.
Yeah. Figure it out. And RIP to Chaz, dude. We're going to miss that city. And hope I get my money back on that Airbnb.
They got a pretty good refund policy right now, because just blame it on COVID and you'll be fine.
Everybody check out SEAL Team when it comes back on air.
Yeah, and check out Justin Melnick and Dita the Hair Missile on Instagram.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.